To Simon Pei, Halacha Samach Beis. Okay, and we're up to let's continue with Chof Ches.
I think I have the wrong
Chof Ches. Page Kuf Chof Vav.
There's some short ones.
Page. Okay, so I'm missing.
Some of them are short.
Yes, those were there were a few mistakes. See, I have a lot of copies here. There are full copies. It's on page Kuf Chaf Vav. Kuf Chaf Vav.
The man in the wheelchair is right outside.
Okay. Okay. Page Kuf Chaf Vav Chaf Hey. Rosh Shemal Eze Davul Siman. So we learned here that you're not allowed to make any mark whatsoever on an object that is a tolada of ksiva, of kosef. So here he has some examples. Reishim al izav l'sim ayim b'shut shalomeshiv. The melechas ha-telegraph. B'shabes, iko isa toro deloi gora misimonios. A telegraph on Shabbos is a melacha. Now, I'm not exactly sure what he's referring to. He's referring to actually doing the electronic transmission. L'chor, it's no worse than email and texting, which today most posts can tell us only osim b'derabbanan. It's not nisa
d'raisa. And it was using electricity.
Today
they use everything
that's battery.
So,
he's talking about writing it down.
Oh, so that's right. So l'chora, he's referring to writing it down before. But I think he's saying even something even more interesting, which is like we do. People, they text great. How do you write great in text? GR8. Right? So an example. Great. Now let me ask you, if you write on Shabbos, GR8, yeah. Is that a melacha deraisa? GR8.
Yeah.
So l'chora today it is.
Today.
Go back 5 years ago. Go back, no, 5 years is nothing. Go back 15 years ago, before texting existed. These LOL. Right? LOL. So go back 10 years ago. What's LOL?
BNB.
What's BNB stand for?
Bias
Nevin Bistro.
That's very common.
Okay.
It is more dynamic.
There's a whole book. You can go online. There's a whole guide. To all. Exactly. So you go look at these books. They have all the Holocaust books. And the Havad Hatzalah, who's ancient, they have all these Rosh HaTevis. All these Rosh HaTevis, so it's there that's 70 years before texting came into this world.
Stenography,
right? All these codes. So l'chor, I think that's what he means here. I think what he means over here is that not only the writing is a pasha, when you write in advance, of course that's ksiva. The electronic transmission. Even if you tell me it was done by electricity, today it's bad by electricity. So what? Electricity is no esh. Unless you want to tell me from the Beis Yitzchak, the Chazon Ish, they want to say, Eish al Chora, he's referring to the preparation that went into the telegrams in advance, and that included writing down codes. Are these codes, do they have it in the Ksiva Deraisa? What are they? The answer is yes. Since they have meaning for the people who are writing it down, the people that are receiving it, that's significant enough for it to have meaning. And the same thing will be true today when it comes to writing out things that these new codes that people use to shorten words on when they text.
It could be that he's actually writing the dots and the dashes.
Dots or dashes? Are you writing out dots and dashes?
Yeah, he doesn't have to write it. He punches the dots and dashes.
So, but if you
have an automatic reader that reads.
Reads, okay, could be.
Because you used to do the old times before they had the post-its.
Yeah.
If someone was learning in a safer and they didn't have enough space.
Yeah.
So the person wanted to remember where he was. He made a little...
A puncture in the safer. Interesting.
So if you make, let's say, two punctures or three, it might be a simul.
A simul, an achnami, okay.
It'll be a surprise, he doesn't say.
So that's what he writes over here. He holds over here that b'shabes ikol isa Torah deloy gora misimonios v'ayin b'shud es yitzchok shakosav gamkein the haroshem me ha telegraph the roshem The roishim from the telegraph, have kiksiva kevan shadarka bekach ayin sham. V'yesh ladun mino linyin haksiva shekoisim ha-koisvei ha-chadosh ha-spir ha-itoinim. People who write things on the newspapers.
Stenographers.
Stenographers. Ksiva mihira. Stenographer. Yesh b'zegam ke iser Torah. Okay, stenographers have the same exact thing as it's the same as this.
Is Pittman and Greg. One of them looks like squiggles. One is short letters that
yeah.
describe the court.
Yeah.
There's another one that looks like just squiggles.
So what's the difference?
The squiggles is not Oasis.
Doesn't matter. It has doesn't have to be nice. It has meaning. It has meaning that is sufficient. So as long as anyone,
you don't know how to read.
Does anyone here know Chinese? If I go to Chinatown, you see all those funny symbols. Do anyone have any clue what those things mean?
Those are pictures. Those are all pictures.
Whatever it is, they know.
Do you know what even one of them represents? You got to take it down to Lower East Side. You can even tell me one stein what that means? Yeah. What they know, but we don't know. Try to find one person in a whole shul over here and know these things. What?
So if a Yid writes Chinese that he doesn't understand.
Rabbi Riviat. Rabbi Riviat in the Lamites Malachus writes the Chi of Doraisa. Yeah, because even though you don't understand it, there's someone in China. There are billions of people in China that know what this means. They won't know what it means.
Chinese.
Exactly. So since these symbols have meaning to someone in the world, they're legitimate symbols, then there's a Chi of Doraisa for writing these symbols down on Shabbos. Okay, next, let's go further. The Ayin Bishud Beis Yitzchak. The also ladabe b'shabbes b'soicha mechune photograph. Okay, now let it go through the microphone. This is the aim. We had this before many times. The old microphone is a phonograph. V'ukli ha-machzik ha-dibur yomim rabim al yidei diburor. So I guess this is a tape recorder. I guess v'ukli ha-machzik b'dibur yomim rabim al yidei ha-diburoi b'ois ha-bayis nechkakim ha-diburim al ha-mechune. When a person speaks, it's recorded in some type of machine. V'yosir mishum havik k'kosev mishum shenisav reishem v'hashayva. When a person speaks, it's being recorded in wax. Yeah. Okay, any familiar with this? Ever such a thing?
Edison invented the wax cylinder.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A wax tape recorder?
The first tape recorders was a thin coat of wax.
Wow.
On this.
Real? Spindle, yeah.
And it
recorded. Okay.
It's kind of track. It doesn't cut the words or anything.
No, it just shakes. It's modulations, up and down.
So kills.
It's saying it's meaningful. It's meaningful since that.
It's not meaningful to anybody who looks at it, it's not meaningful. You got to play it. You
got to put it to a machine.
Yeah.
So he talks about this, but it has a myla much better than anything we do today, because today everything is magnetic, electronic.
Cut a
regular record. The old records, the L, called the L. What do they call the L? It cuts into the record, mamish. A mark into the record. In Echonimus, that's definitely a high madrega, because that's something that's mamish, a real roshim. It's a real, how things stay are not
rules.
Tangible.
In
Echonimus, to us,
people don't realize it. In the old times, when you want to do everything on tape,
yeah. First, I have to erase it.
No, the professionals use the magnetic powder.
Okay.
You sprinkle the magnetic powder on the tape, and you would actually see a design where it was magnetized or not. And that's how they knew how to cut it. So when you record on a tape, or even on a CD, on a disc, it puts in magnetic pulses on it. That you can't see it, but if you had a way of reading it.
Okay, so that's the question. If you have a magnetic pulse, does halacha recognize that as a roshan? For ksiva, you need a roshan. Ksiva deraisa requires there to be something physical. Everything goes back to the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they did not have flash drives. They had regular wood, paper, pen, ink. It did not exist. So whatever we do today with this technology cannot be a melacha deraisa, because it's not physical. It has no resemblance whatsoever to the Mishkan. And conceptually, it's the same thing. Very good. So it's also midrabanan. No one's telling you to do this on Shabbos. It's ksiva. No one's going to tell you to do this on Shabbos. But if you want to define the melacha deraisa, you have to be similar at least to some degree to the Mishkan. And the nafkamina is b'zman hazeh la'is tzorech, when there's a need, you can do it. So you can tell a guy to do it. Shavus to shavus. It's a whole different world. Phonograph. It etches your record of your voice on this machine. The Beis Yitzchak is very machmir Hilchas Shabbos. If you notice all the things that we learned, he quotes Beis Yitzchak extensively about Hilchas Shabbos. He's always very machmir new technology. Electricity held was deiraisa. We don't pass like the Beis Yitzchak. We pass the electricity bezvanas as limited rabbanon. But he also this type of new recording device in his day on wax. He's making a roishim in the wax that's enough to make it equivalent to the real traditional forms of ksiva, and it's deiraisa. A person who erased his wax on a tablet, just like erasing wax, so to writing, making an etch in wax, and now enters the Rabbi Braun, the Yadua Lufi Masha Shamati She Hamav. I don't know what that word is. Ha She Hamam Barna. Some type of machine, the chain hamag hamaglim shakol nechakalem enam mimorichim b'shayva. That there are Brown says that from what he knows, it's not really etched. He doesn't know what he's talking about because the tapes that we have today, or that he's referring to, there is no etch, there is no mark that's made.
Oh, that's the membrane.
The membrane of what?
That's most probably when they switched away from
wheel wax.
When they went to magnetic.
Yeah. Shaham membrane, the chain hamaglim. That's a new technology. I guess he's referring to
the wires. They did wire recording those days. They didn't have tape.
Okay, so these
thin wire, like a coil of wire, and it recorded on the wire.
The Oyd Sarachian to Aksiva Zu Lohaisa B'Mishkan. He wants to go further, Rabbi Brown. Rabbi Brown or Rabbi Braun? I always forget. Braun or Rabbi Brown? Braun?
Depends how it's spelled.
Rabbi Braun or Rabbi Brown? Rabbi Braun, what? The mechaber of the Shi'arim Mitzion B'Halacha. Okay, whatever. So he writes here, it's also not Ksiv Yot Sarachian, the Haksiva Zulo Hoysa B'Mishkan. This type of record was not in the Mishkan. V'yim Kain Ein Chiv, this should not be a Chiv Min HaTorah. U'mi Kol Shekei, u'chma Shekos V'chasam Sofer, l'inin P'sichas HaMechase, the umbrella. Are you allowed to open umbrella on Shabbos? You make an oil. But this type of oil, even though it's a physical oil, but on a stick, and you open it up, this type of oil did not exist in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, there were four walls, and they took a garment, they took the rios, and they covered a real oil. A type of oil that you can open and close on a stick, which has no walls, is not similar to the oil that was in the Mishkan. So therefore, the Chassam Sofer wants to suggest that you should be permitted to use an umbrella on Shabbos in the place where there is an Erev, and you should be able to open and close it. Because it can't be the Nusser of Baine, because that's not the way the Baine was in the Mishkan. Umbrella Shabbos, the oil kizulo haysav mishkan v'lek a chiv. There is no chiv, and same way we don't have an umbrella, which is a physical type of a shelter, can be mutter. So certainly a type of recording on tape, magnetic tape, or even wax, also should be mutter. Should not be nisur deraisa. At least v'chein hishtamish hamasham b'svar zolinin or electric be'ashoshes ayin sham. You also wanted to say that when it comes to electricity, even light, turning on a light bulb and incandescent bulb, the masham wants to suggest also Shnapi and Isser Derais of Or, because they did not have incandescent bulbs in the Mishkan. So therefore, why should it be an Isser Derais of Eish? Pressurized piece of filament burning, there's no equivalent to that. Now, halacha l'maisa, we're not so makel, but just to bring out the point, you have to go back to the source. The ayin, b'shud, arugas, abayisem, because that's how it is. It's accepted that an incandescent bulb is derais. Because it's a pecham, umbrella with machmir. It could be that it's not derais. If someone is nichshol, he makes a mistake, he's not high of a carbon chatas. Ain't a chanami. Halacha l'maisa, no one's going to go with an umbrella to shul on Shabbos, even a place where there is an erif. No one's going to do it. Because opening and closing it is not, and even though there's an Erev, so just leave it open. Technically, if you're in the country, or even the city, and if you have an Erev, You can go with it. Just don't close it. Open the umbrella before Shabbos.
A little bit. It has to be open a little bit. That's
open it before Shabbos and just don't close it on Shabbos. Leave it partially open. Exactly. Partially open. It should be mutter. Rabbi Rivian, he writes about this. And he writes, you know, one of the things about Rivian is he expresses his opinion there. Every so often, still Bunim Kohn doesn't really, he just says it as a matter of fact. He says, also, mutter, this paisik, that paisik, Riviat, every once in a while, he starts expressing his own opinion. and he says, no one should dare make light of using umbrellas on Shabbos. Even though you can mimofalpel all these svaris, why you should be mutter, it's accepted as usur. We've never seen anyone do it, and no one has a right today to come along and say, oh, I have a heter, I'm going to do it.
Years back, there used to be these big sombreros.
Yeah.
The
Gemara talks about that.
So we used to say it's the guy's making oil
in the shop. Oil. The Gemara talks about that. The Gemara Mamash talks about the hat. They talk about what about even a borsellino as a tefach, one brim. It's also a shayla. We don't do because that's considered part of the garment. But the sombreros, it's a real problem. It's not a joke. It's a problem. The very extremely.
The chief rabbi from Argentina came. And he wore a black Biba hat.
Yeah.
But the rim, they must have made it in the country, was wide like a sombrero.
The Gemara talks about that. I don't have good. We're going to have it coming up later. Boyne has the next simon. We'll have that soon.
What about on Yantiv? If you open the umbrella before Yantiv?
Doesn't, it's exactly the point. It's a din of oihel. Yeah. Exactly the point. Doesn't make a difference. The issue is oihel. The issue is not carrying. We have an Erev. It doesn't make a difference, Shabbos and Yantiv.
If I was on Yantiv, you need to go to get your Yantiv meal.
Doesn't matter. The only time you're allowed to do, you're not. The only time you're allowed to do malacha for food, it has to be directly.
Exactly
what we said. Exactly. Even though it was over before Yom Tov, we don't. That's what Riviat says. It's very easy, I guess, to forget to open and to close it. So it's accepted today that we don't play around with this. Exactly.
We could have an umbrella.
Technically speaking,
you can build something.
You can build. Where are you going to put it? It's not going to sell. What? Where are you going to put an umbrella that you can't possibly close?
You can build such an umbrella.
Okay. You're right. Rabbi Riviati, right? Technically speaking, technically speaking, there are loopholes. There are a lot of legal loopholes to allow one to use an umbrella on Shabbos. People are going to accuse you of opening and closing it. Where do you put it? Exactly. So what about in the country? Let's say I go to the country. The country, there's no problem of room. Right, you walk from your bungalow to the shul. There's plenty of room all over the place. You can leave out outside in the lawn, a million umbrellas.
Right.
No one has ever, that's what he writes. That's why Rabbi Riviat, he goes off on a limb and he has a paragraph telling you, don't you dare go and start coming with legal loopholes to use umbrellas and Shabbos. You're right. Technically speaking, you can find a million reasons why you should be able to use an umbrella.
You could never use an Erev. Anywhere in the world.
He talks about it. He says the custom is not to use umbrellas. That's the bottom line. Tradition. Let's go further. The ayin b'shut arugas ha'boisim, the last paragraph, the cost of the ein kan isur koisim v'derayis. So going back to our recording, an electronic recording, or even the wax, there's no isur derayis. So the legara mikoisev kalachayat. Or beregel, there's no difference in writing klachayan with your foot or with your mouth. Shashina miderech bnei adam hakoisim depoter mechatas. There is no kri of carbon chatas. The ein kan rak iser derabanan ayin sham. Memela in a chanami that bezman hazeh to record something on Shabbos or Yom Tov would only be at best in iser mederabanan, but we still don't do it. V'tzarchian, why the habes yitzal kosav the darko bekach chayav leolam. Not so similar. Why? If that's the way you write it, that's the derech haksiva. Then you always, if the derech haksiva is to write with your foot. If we'll live in a new society where people are trained to write with their feet or to write with their mouth, that becomes the convention. Then that would turn into an issa de'iraisa. So if this is the convention of recording with a device which makes a roshim. Okay, again, we've advanced quite a bit from the time that this was written, about 50, 60 years ago, even more. Everything today is magnetic, electronic, it's invisible, but if you were to have some type of device would write a ksiva and it would be an etch into a physical material, he says, why is that called the old klachayat? That's the derech. That's the way we write in our time. We have records, we have wax materials, and it makes a physical record. So what should be the difference? So okay, so that's an idea. Now let's go to the next halacha. Halacha Chavtes, one more halacha. Also lohasir, we learned before that if there's wax falls on a piece of paper, you're not allowed to remove the wax, because by removing the wax you may come to moichik. Wax that is tightly pressed upon a piece of paper, by removing this blotch of wax you may come to erase what is beneath it. Even if you were to erase what is beneath it, at best it would only be nisim edrabanan, because moichik is only chayv when you do moichik for the purpose of ksiva. When you're only writing and you're not going to rewrite on top of it, but it's still lost. Also lost. Here I am b'shut mi'il tzedakah the mechalik bein Niyar leklaf, between paper and parchment. The niyar mistalik haksav, wax that is melted on paper will remove the ksav who's aser im hashayva. Vavi meichik mamish v'yasu avol leklaf parchment. Parchment is rough. If you remove the wax, the letter underneath is not going to come off. Mistalik rak hashayva v'levad v'lehachi ein laaser shamit shenapi aser. And there can be no gilach l'maisa, like you mentioned, the old Sifrei Torah. For some strange reason, the old Sefer Torah, every so often you'll find drops of wax. Someone to say told me it was because they wrote these old Sefer Torah by candlelight. Okay, candlelight, you're going back a very old Sefer Torah. And there's wax, and you'll find drops of wax. So they have to, on Shabbos, it's being mafsik, you can't see the letter. So there's a shiloh, what to do? Should you remove the wax? Should I remove the wax? You can remove the wax. You're a lot of shilohs. There is moichik, which he's telling us here is not a problem, because wax, you're not going to. Parchment is rough. You're not going to cause the letter to be removed. But there's a problem of memoreach, you're smoothing when you take off wax. And there's a problem of toichain, if it's very hard and brittle. And there's a problem of memoreach, moichik, toichain. I think that's it. Those are the problems.
Well, I don't understand it, right? If someone is trying to be safe in Torah, it gets wax on it.
I don't know the answer. Yeah, I don't know.
They see straight away the wax off.
I don't know the answer. You're asking a good question. Yeah. I don't know what happened. So what happened? How?
The boydick
checked it by candlelight. He got wax on it. That's what I said today. Even though you have to still check by human being, even with the computer, you have to check at least. The Poskim, the Rabbi Rosner, the big Poskim, already said normally I'll put the Shulchan Aruch, you have to check three times. So the Poskim said that if you that you have to, at least one human being has to check it, and if you do the computer, you only need to check it once. You don't have to do it three times. The computer is good for two. But one human being must still check it. That's how they pass today. There are different madregas today. So different levels of. There are people that can do it for very little money. You can get someone to do it. The whole Sefer Torah. Someone told me the average sofer makes about 30 spelling mistakes. Wow. A brand new Sefer Torah, when they check, 30 spelling mistakes. So you give it to a sofer to check. So someone who is they're different levels. Like the cheapest level. He'll find 29 just by zipping it up. They do it so often, the Baal Kriya, they know it, they'll find, but they'll miss one. To get that last one, you got to pay big bucks. You got to pay like someone who really. So, but that, you don't need to do it anymore, because that already uses computer. The computer will pick up all the mistakes. Computer catches everything, almost everything.
Are those mistakes consistent? No.
Spelling mistakes. You know, they write so fast. You make a spelling mistake. They have guides. They have all these new techniques today. Every sofer has their technique. The thing that I saw that I like the best, the new techniques they have like a projector. It's not so expensive. All this technology. I have a projector and you have your cloth, and basically it projects and you adjust it. to the size of the cloth on your ksav, and it projects all the words. And it's all spaced out for you.
That's 2,000 years old.
What?
That's 2,000 years
old. A projector?
Yeah.
Projector?
It's called the camera obscura.
Could be, all right. But with the technology today, it's... Because you also know part of the guys, you have to also understand part of the difficulty is it has to be justified.
In
line. It has to be perfectly justified. So you have to know exactly how wide to make each letter and how much space in so it should come out perfect. That's the difference between a professional Sefer Torah and an amateur. The Nusa that start out, you look at the margins. It's not so straight.
I'll tell you, the
professionals who've done it for years, it's precise. It's like unbelievable, the precision and justification.
They don't have any long letters like a Reish takes.
They have, like, for Megillah.
Yeah.
Right? So they have a software, they write the Megillah, and you make a photocopy of the...
It's a guide, yeah.
And then you put the photocopy underneath the...
Right.
Word for word, right.
Never
get out of the line.
Okay,
never.
You're a good cipher.
And every one of them is
perfect.
Full on the line.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Okay. Now with Google Glass, okay, Google Glass for the cipher. And as they write on the glass, it right away watches everything that they do and tells them the next letter. And if they make a mistake right away, it alerts them. No, it's not a joke.
They have that?
They don't have that, but the technology is readily available. It's not a joke. It's constantly scanning. It's no big deal. It's the technology. The technology is available. A person will just sit down and put it together to do it. Just a matter of time until you'll see in Mishpacha magazine on the cover. They'll be showing the sofer with his Google Glass writing a Sefer Torah, and they're showing and describing how it works.
I'm not surprised that sofer make mistakes. Because I'll give you a prime example. You look in the Megillah, there's a word that's sabbats.
Yeah.
It's not one vowel.
Krivachsev. Right. The Krivachsev.
Ayahudim has two words too.
What?
Okay.
Yeah.
It's very hard to be a cipher. It's a certain type of mind. You have to be able to concentrate and have the zitzlish. It's not for everyone. Okay.
If you have, let's say, a sticky note.
Yeah.
That covers letters.
Yeah.
If you remove that sticky
note. You're allowed to.
You're allowed to. You're revealing letters. It's not.
No, it's more to the sticky notes is not considered to be a mechuber. Tape is not. However, you're not allowed to put tape on a wall on Shabbos, midrabanan, because it's like boina. Taking a piece of scotch tape and let's say you have before Shabbos, or even if they have like these little pads now of scotch tape pre-cut that you could take.
Yeah.
So technically it's mutter. Technically there's no issue derayis of taking one of those pre-cut pieces of tape from that little pad and taking a piece of paper and putting it on the wall and attaching it. In the Torah it's mutter. Why? It's not permanent and it's removable. It's not. However, it's also midrabanan because it's doime lebinyan. If you were to take a piece of paper, take a thumbtack and stick it into the wall, it's an iser derayisa.
That's binyan
de'iraisa. People do this all the time in shuls. They don't know the halacha. On bulletin board, even on the cork bulletin boards. To take a thumbtack on a cork bulletin board and to stick a piece of paper, it's an iser de'iraisa of bina. It's kavua. It's a nail. It's a mismar. It's kavua.
You make a hole as well.
Even though it's meant to take out, doesn't matter. It's an iser deraisa, and it's much worse on a wall where that's really maybe someone will go argue and say it's not kavua. It doesn't matter. It's you attaching something permanently to a wall. A piece of tape is not kavua. The poison say a piece of scotch tape, easy come easy go. You can just peel right off. It's not inserted into a nail. A mismar goes into the wall. In order for it to be kavu, it has to enter the wall like a nail or a thumbtack. Just adhesive to the wall is not in halacha considered to be a kavias, especially with scotch tape, which can easily be pulled apart. But it's also midrabanan because you're attaching something to a binyan, to a davar mechubur lekarka. A sefer on a sticky note is not mechubur lekarka, and it's sticky. It's not being pressed into the thing, and it's only meant to be there temporarily. So there's no iser to take a sticky note and to remove it.
If you're revealing letters, like
no, that's not. No. You're not revealing. You just reveal. You're like opening a book. Right now, the letters are concealed, right? And I open it up. I'm revealing the letters. There's nothing wrong. So there's no difference if I have a sticky note and I pull it off. Same exact thing. Oh, letters come off. That's meichik. You're right. That's a problem. If it's so sticky where you're going to pull off the ksavu, that'll be meichik. So let's see over here. Okay, let's now go to halacha. The next halacha, samach gimel. Halacha samach gimel. Those cakes upon which shaleihen, notice over here is like icing on the cake. It's you're allowed to remove letters that are written upon, but you have to eat them in one shot. You're not allowed to cut the letters in the middle. We know that a birthday cake upon which there is icing, which spells out a person's name, you're not allowed to cut the letter in the middle of the letter. You have to cut between the letters. Or you should remove the entire letter in one shot and put it in your mouth. But if you have some type of letter, we had this before, we read this last time, about some type of letters which are written as a skula for a child, a Kabbalistic skula, and you want the child to eat the letter, that's a real problem because you want him. The writing is the ikar. Normally, icing on the cake that's in the form of a letter, the ikar is the food. The fact that it's edible, that's the ikar. Just so happens to be, it's also in the shape of a letter. That takes away from the din mechika de arayis, and even according to some opinions, the mechika de rabbanan. The ikar is not the letter, the ikar is the food content. The letter is secondary. Menela, when you swallow it, when you ruin it, you're not doing what's called mechika. But if the ikar is, you want the letter, the tsur of the letter to go into the stomach of the child and somehow have an effect upon his neshama to spare him, to ward off some evil demon, then you actually want the ma'isak siva, and that will be called the mechika, and that will be aser. Okay, let's see on the bottom. Lamed, k'shem shes luchtev, ayim b'shut ma'asham. The also lechayshul bebezachol ma'pinchos la'roifei u'machal shabbos. Here's the shaila: person is in the hospital, and you are you allowed to hand over the chart to the doctor so he should write something down on the chart? It's lifnei iver. The doctor says, "Can you do me a favor? Can you please pass me the chart?" Doc takes out his pen. A Jewish doctor. He's not religious, and he says. He takes out his pen. Can you pass me the chart, please? So you pass the chart. You're doing lifnei iver. You're assisting him in writing on Shabbos. Today it's not okay because today there are no more charts. Not no more, but today everything's electronic.
Because he would have done it even if you didn't pass.
Shtrei ivri dinara. The only time it's lifnei iver is only when he could not do it without your assistance. If you didn't tell him no, he would say, "You nasty, what a nasty customer." I'll do it myself. It's not going to be in your bed. He's not going to treat the patient well. Okay, but let's just talk theoretically. To write down the names of the tzcholim, avlo niach lahachin apinkos me'erev Shabbos. But if you want to prepare from before Shabbos and leave it there, yesh lahakel, you can be makel the messiah koydem shegiyaz man hawisalekam yishur messiah levi avera. But if you would just put everything in position, I'll put the chart here on the table where it needs to be before Shabbos, even before he walks into the room, and I'm being messiah, but I'm not mamish b'shas maisa handing him the chart. That is mutter. Now this is an amazing thing, and it was Nogelach Lemais, because it used to be, it was well known that the Hebrew publishing company, if I'm not mistaken, would print chumashim on Shabbos. A lot of the old chumashim some shuls didn't want to use because they were printed on Shabbos. Technically speaking, there was nothing wrong, because, well, it depends, you have to know the exact situation. We think over here is that if they're doing it for their own purpose, it's not necessarily chil Shabbos. The mutter you're allowed to give over the svarim, the manuscripts, or whatever needs to be given over to l'umin, to a craftsman, to the printer. The people working in the factory are non-religious Jews. The yav sheyatfisu b'shabbos. And look at this, they're going to print your books on Shabbos. They're going to print some on Shabbos. Jews are going to print it on Shabbos. Leka, now, what about me? Am I guilty of being misayeya by giving over the manuscripts or the whatever they are, whatever I need to give over to the workers when I know they're going to do it on Shabbos. No. Leka mishum misayeya lo'ivrei avera, kevin shunoisen koidim hascholas avera. I gave it to them before they did the avera, so I am not participating in their sin. I never told them to do it on Shabbos. I never told them, they're doing it on their own. I did not participate. There might be halacha, you have to wait. You might have to wait. You can't be mena. It's way after, right? Way after, but you can't say that I was mechal Shabbos because if I myself went to the factory on Shabbos and printed my own svarim, my svarim would be also le'olam. They would be forbidden forever. I would not be allowed to derive any benefit. I would not be allowed to sell it in the store. When someone else is mechal Shabbos, it's also for him, but it's not also for you. But if you're mechal Shabbos, it's also for you forever. If they're my books, I would not be allowed to derive benefit. I would not be able to sell it in the store. I didn't do it. Another Jew did it. Did I tell him to do it? No. Did he do it on his own? Yes. You want to hold me accountable because I gave it to him. I handed it over to him. I'm a sayayah. No, when I gave it to him, it was not yet the zman of the Yisr. So you can't hold me accountable. So in the middle of the most I have to wait is, I have to wait after Shabbos. B'chdei Shayosu, I'll wait 24 hours. After Shabbos, before I'll bring it to the store. I don't know. I don't know who the bean team is.
Why do they call these chumras then?
Chumras. These are just dust. It's chumras. It's just not shame. You go on to think about it. I mean, I think that was the issue with the chumashim. The chumashim is that, like, today we live, you know, it's just not using the chumash on Shabbos. It was printed on Shabbos. Who says it was printed on Shabbos? There are 7 days a week. What are the chances the chumash that you're holding in your hand was printed on Shabbos? What?
He works a 5 day week.
Who says it was printed on Shabbos? The factory was open on Shabbos, and we know that there were definitely chumashim that printed on Shabbos. So I'm chesh that this happens to be one of them, and therefore all these chumashim have to be put in Shemus. I don't know. I don't know. I know someone years ago said that to me. Actually, we had in yeshiva in Chaim Berlin. Okay, I used to be friendly with the Gabbai Svarim. Now they've already gone through. I could tell you how many machzorim they've gone through of new chumashim every other day. They put all the chumashim in Shemus and they have buy new chumashim and they bind it and so on and so forth. But years ago, they didn't go change the chumashim every other day. So they had like this old chumashim, and one of the Gabbai Svarim, he actually fixed them up really nice. He put a lot of time into it. We had a whole big pile. And then they bought other ones. So there was one particular guy that says, don't you know that these chumashim, it was well known that they were printed on Shabbos. So, you know, we have here enough. We have enough chumashim. We don't need to use these chumashim. We didn't listen to him.
No proof.
We didn't listen. We continue to use those chumashim. You could, right? But I would know that. But we didn't listen to him. Like, oh come on, you have me so machma. You know this is the one we used. They were used for a long time until everything was retired. When the article came out, it bought all the new articles, and then since then the smaller ones came out. They bought the smaller ones. Then article got smart. The old articles were very heavy. They were very thick and heavy. They have some of the old ones here still. They're very heavy. Now, no, they don't make them in any hand. Now they make them on thinner paper. They're half the size and half the thickness.
The Siddurim also had a problem with the binding.
All the binding now is new binding, library binding, the best binding you can possibly get. Unbelievable binding. But the chumashim, the old chumashim, they're heavy. Now the paper is half the thickness. Right? No, that's a stone edition. Don't even talk about the Hebrew only. They have the Hebrew only. Right, that was a thick, heavy one. But they have now, the new ones are thin ones.
The advantage of the Hebrew Publishing Company.
They were thin, but they were heavy. There was the Hebrew Publishing, it was that shiny paper.
Great paper, much better.
Shiny paper, it was heavy. I remember, I can have them still. They're heavy. They're heavy. Heavy, heavy. Some people like them. I mean, those are traditional. You can get now probably, they'll pay you to take them. They'll pay you. You can probably probably warehouses and Seamus collecting in factories. They have these. No, this is Ramban. This is Ramban.
This is Ramban.
I think maybe. Yeah, okay, whatever it is. Go to the next shelf. The next shelf.
Yes.
Left. 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 Right. Up. 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 Right. Look for a new one. See, this is the old one. You see this? This is the old one. The old one. This is thick. You can't get this. No, this is a Chumash. Tanakh. You can't get this anymore. They don't sell this anymore. The paper is too thick. The shuls don't want this. It's too heavy. People can't carry it. So the dirshu is a ton. The dirshu, they're very nice, the dirshu. I like the dirshu. They're actually very nice when you put it on the table.
When you look at the layout,
all right. Printing. These are nice chumash. This has a lot of milas. This is the first chumash to have the parashios like in the Torah, which is a very nice thing. The parashios, the parashios spaces, psuchos and stumos. Never was a chumash that had this until the art scroll did this. That's a very nice feature. This also, they claim this is done by hand. The computer couldn't do this. I don't know anyone needs this. The first word of the page, the targum, is the first translation of the first word, and the last word on the page is the last word. In the old Chumashim, the Hebrew publishing, it's impossible. You can't do it. Even the computer couldn't do it. That's what I was told, that art school, they had to do it by hand, had to figure out how to get to space the page in such a way that the first word of Targum corresponds to the first word, and the last word could be, somehow the computer had a hard time with this. They had to do something to customize it. Big deal, right? Big deal. Who don't even know the difference? Okay, big deal. But also, but someone else I know, a very big mafunik, so a critic, one of the critics of art school, he told me, very big, he told me that he's very impressed with the Targum. He's, yeah, sure. But the Targum, they use some edition of Targum which is very accurate, which is not the standard edition.
Kesser.
Could be, I don't know. They Targum, there are different versions of Targum. There are certain words which are questionable if it's the real Targum or somehow by mistake it crept in. So supposedly they made a decision which is rare, very unique. Even the Ma'or, the Mikros Gedolos, the beautiful Ma'or Chumashim, the Targum of the article is a more accurate. And there are a couple of words here and there. That's what he told me. So he was very impressed with that. They also have a very nice feature of the Asar Sadibros. They have a lot of very nice features. I'm sure the Rashi, I'm sure they were very careful which Rashi they selected for the... It's a beautiful chumash. Nothing to talk about. Anyone that says otherwise is just jealous. Pshuto kimashmo. All right. Okay, let's go back. Let's see. So he says the mutli lahalahatvis svarlas fish over here lumen. Okay, they told us here. Okay. One more halas. Another halach. Halach alamid. I want to finish off this page. I want to go tomorrow to Baina. So let's try to. Oh no, we're not going to get to Baina. We have more to do. But let's see. Samach Dalet. Everyone knows this halacha. Svarim Sha'al Chudi Hagilyain Mibuchutz Nichtifu Osios. Library books. Right? Library books, it says Brooklyn Public Library or Yeshiva University. Anyone have any of those books at home with on also stand? Yesh Oisrim Lepaschem, it is also to open them up on Shabbos, or Lesagam Shabbos, it's also to open because it's Meichik. By opening and closing, you're breaking apart the letters. The Yesh Matidim, some hold that it's Mutter. Why is it Mutter? Because it's meant to open and close. Anything that's meant, like Binyin, anything which is meant to Kalim, a menorah shall prakim, you have a candelabra that's made of little parts, and it's very easy to take apart. It's not called, putting the parts together is not called Binyin, because it's made. It's made to assemble and take apart on Shabbos.
Lego.
Clicks. Lego is already known. The children are the only one clicks. So they don't want Lego. No, it's mutter. No, not a chumrah. They just like it. They find it more.
The kids
like clicks better than they like Lego. But no, it's mutter because it's meant to open and close, to take apart. and put back together. So the same principle overflows to the laws of ksiva. If you have letters which are meant to take apart and close on a library book, open and close the pages, so therefore it's not called moichek and koisef when you open and close the pages. That is one opinion. B'shas atchak, if you have a sefer and you really need to see what it says inside, and there's library printing on the side, b'shas atchak, you can open it up on Shabbos. What's the ideal thing to do? Is to put a card, or to keep it open for Shabbos, or to put a card before Shabbos like this, and that way you already broke it. So now when you open it, you're not doing anything, and the red letters are already broken in between. Okay, even though you go like this, you can see it, right? It doesn't matter. Putting a card already is considered you broke it.
Put a bookmark or place mark anyway.
But if you put the place mark like this, if you put the place mark like this, the writing is all on the side, you got to put the place mark in between the letters so you don't see it.
But he's not a contemporary Post-Gate.
What? Opening? No, most say that it's us. Most of them say that it's us. Most the contemporary, he says it's mutter. V'yesh matirin. The kids of Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't do it. V'yesh matirin. Try to find me a contemporary post-it that says V'yesh matirin. All of the English books today will tell you that you can't do it. You have
they
to.
He's make.
They don't.
I'm not on the bindings.
No.
I'm in the, no.
They don't do anymore.
The older books.
Really? Okay. V'yesh matirin. The Kitzer says it's hold. Some hold that it's mutter. V'chei nehagin. Furthermore, he says that that's the custom. The custom is mutter. U'mikol malka mi'achas yesh oishim yesh l'mnoya melichtoiv kein. You shouldn't l'chatila write on it. Don't go stamp all your books at home. Don't take a stamp and start stamping the side. That's not ideal. It's mutter. That's mutter. As I said, that's mutter. Let's go here on the bottom very quickly. On the bottom over here, what it says b'halacha chlamet aleph l'pascham oil sagam ein b'magen avram. You can receive a letter on Shabbos. You're not allowed to open a letter on Shabbos. Why not? It's korea. Oh, but it's destructive. Destructive, it's only mutter destructive things for eating purposes. Eating bodily things which you're going to derive physical benefit is mutter. So if you have for food, you have plastic plates or disposable plates or cups, and big, so there you're allowed to rip it open in a destructive way, it's mutter. But to open up a letter, it's destructive. Open a letter on Shabbos, why can't you do it? No, because it's not considered. Now, the truth is that not everyone agrees. I know for a fact, like I don't know, I've asked people this. They told me, I had a magazine, a Mishpacha magazine. I was dying to read it on Shabbos. I wanted to read the magazine on Shabbos, and it was still wrapped in the plastic. It was wrapped in the plastic. So I asked the rabbi. I asked the rabbi in shul. I know. So I asked him. So he says, "Of course, it's mutter. Just rip it in destructive." Yeah. So why is that different than opening a letter? I opened the Rav Riviat also. Rav Riviat says you now open a letter on Shabbos, and he says the reason is because you only open food. So why then? But I think he also says that you're allowed to open up like basically the magazines. Plastic. You should open it before Shabbos. Look how you get a magazine before Shabbos. You should open it. You get mail on Shabbos itself. Let's get a periodical. Right? You get the new edition, the new contemporary, the RJJ journal comes on Shabbos. It's wrapped in plastic. Or the tradition comes. It's wrapped in plastic. No, so it's no, there's no difference. There's no difference. So he says it's a letter. So you shouldn't do it yourself. You shouldn't tell the guy to do it. You should be merames. You should be Miramis. I don't know. I have to look into this more. There's another shiloh of Noilat, of getting mail on Shabbos. Opening mail on Shabbos because it came through Chil Hashem or I don't even know exactly. Opening mail, the problem, the mail was Tchus L'Tchum. The mail came into your possession.
Today is no Tchus L'Tchum in the city. It used to be a time when there were a lot of Jewish workers.
Workers, they don't have any more Jewish workers. Say the Roiv is not Jewish. So maybe today it's taka different, it's mutter. Okay, believe that we have to look into it more.
Earlier,
We learned this before. Yeah, yeah, Mikako. I don't know. All I know is the Minhag Olam is. I asked the Rav every time Chacham. He told me it's mutter. You have a magazine on Shabbos. It's left in the plastic. He told me it's mutter. You can rip open the plastic to read it. If you have plastic plates and cups, you can rip open the plastic to take the plastic plates and cups. If you receive a letter on Shabbos, I don't know why. It's brought down in many svarim, you're not allowed to open the letter on Shabbos. It's usur to rip open the envelope. Why? Why is ripping open the envelope to see what it says inside different than ripping open the plastic? I don't know. I really don't know. It says, let's see, that's the din of muksa. That's because those are letters that are not nageya for Shabbos. I'm talking about you want to read a letter of correspondence, which gives you simcha. Next,
the ayin. Money.
All right, there's more here. You know what? Let's stop here because I want to spend some time on Rosh Hashanah, so we'll stop over here.